No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
The bastards are back for the Friday edition of the podcast. We are part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. Just a quick disclaimer for any of you first-time listeners, this is not a homer podcast. We call it how we see it. When the Red Sox are dominating, we will celebrate that. When they are getting destroyed, we will be critical and at times savagely blunt. If you are easily offended, press the stop button immediately. But for those who embrace it, let's get rolling. I am Jason Kelly. I'm coming to you from Westwood, Massachusetts. I'm your host tonight. You can find me at Color of the Iris on Twitter if you so choose to. Joining me tonight from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, is Terry Cushman. Terry, how you doing?
Ready to address some rumors.
Yeah, we got some hot, fresh rumors coming in this week about a particularly, I guess you could say, polarizing player on the Red Sox. We will get to that eventually. And Terry, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Cushman MLB, and the podcast account is at @bastards_Boston.
Awesome. And also with us tonight from Denver, Colorado, by way of Quincy, Massachusetts, is Andrew Duan. What's up, Andrew?
Yeah, doing a lot better than last night, for sure. You know, no Red Sox loss. We got a Bruins win. Yeah, mood's a lot better. I'm sure that came through in the podcast last night.
Yeah, last night's podcast was that was a rough one for all three of us. That was just, yeah, as I called it, the double kick in the nuts of the Celtics loss immediately followed by the Red Sox bullpen doing what they've done pretty much all season. So that was not great. But you're right, a little bit better tonight. And Andrew, where can they find you on Twitter real quick?
So that's going to be at Andrew Duan MLB.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, as Terry mentioned at the start of the show, we've got some pretty steamy rumors coming out of a few, blue checkmark MLB sources pertaining to Xander Bogaerts. So look, we've talked about it since the offseason, going into this season. You know, Xander Bogaerts has not been given a contract extension. Obviously, Trevor Story was signed to a pretty big deal, and there's a whole thing of he's playing second base. Is he the Xander Bogaerts replacement? You know, is this going to be your future infield? What are they going to do with Bogaerts? Xander himself has spoke about the contract negotiations, saying that yes, he was given an offer, but quote unquote, it didn't work out. And that he would not be talking with the Red Sox about a contract extension and for the rest of the year until the off season. And then just this week, we had multiple MLB reporters, JP Morosi among them, saying, or speculating rather, that Xander Bogaerts being traded to the St. Louis Cardinals would be an ideal fit. And for those who don't know, St. Louis Cardinals this week just demoted Paul DeJong. Paul DeJong was their starting shortstop. He was a guy that they actually signed to a contract extension a couple of years ago after a breakout season. He was viewed as the future there. He was viewed as one of their building pieces. Got off to a real bad start this year. He has been demoted, and that's where the rumors really kicked up about, you know, the Red Sox are struggling. St. Louis looks like they could be in a playoff position, or at least in a better position to go for an NL wildcard spot. So would Xander Bogaerts being traded there make sense? And that got a lot of people's ears up around here because obviously it's a sensitive issue. Xander Bogaerts by many is viewed as the face of the franchise, and he looks like he's kind of out the door, or at least it looks like management wants him out the door. So the question I would pose, and I'll start with you, Andrew, is how much do you buy into these rumors, you know, linking Xander Bogaerts to the St. Louis Cardinals? And if you do think they're legit, when do you think that trade might happen?
So I do think that the leading force behind these rumors is Xander's agent, and that's Scott Boras. Scott Boras is pissed off. He's been pissed off with the Red Sox pretty much all offseason. I think he wanted a large extension for Xander. Obviously, that benefits both parties. Scott gets his 6%. Xander gets his 8-year deal. He was mad that Xander overruled him when he first took that 5 years, $100 million, which was an absolute bargain signing. And he came out last year, said, hey, there's going to be no discount. Xander took his discount. There's going to be no hometown discount this time around. He knows what he's worth. So I think Scott Boras is really trying to set some outside pressure because he sees how bad the Red Sox are struggling. He's probably not thrilled that they signed Trevor Story. He probably would have been happier if they gave Carlos Correa $250 million. I think we'd be seeing Kumbaya with John Henry and Scott right now if that were the case. So I think he starts leaking. I think John Heyman gets the stories. I think Morosi gets it. I think Jim Bowden gets it. Because the Cardinals are an easy team to pinpoint him to. And they need him. They honestly, they really do need him. The Cardinals aren't doing as well as we kind of thought they might be doing at this point. Milwaukee looks like the better team. St. Louis needs the offense. So I put it at a 50% chance, well, that these are actual, you know, legitimate rumors. And I do think that these two teams do match up well. And I don't want to get too deep into it yet. I do want to hear Terry's thoughts on it. But if they start, you know, faltering over these next 3 weeks or so, those rumors are going to get louder and they start to make a little more sense. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to come back to it, though.
Okay. So, yeah, it sounds like you mostly think it's a smokescreen by Scott Boras, which very likely theory, given how Scott Boras tends to operate. But Terry, what are your thoughts on everything there?
Well, just to kind of expand on some of Andrew's takes here, because my mind's racing in like several different directions here, trying to process different angles and see how the pieces fit and what makes sense, what doesn't. But I just find it hard to believe that Boras is fabricating trade rumors just to throw them out there. It's hard to put words into a front office executive's mouth. Now, in the offseason, it's different because Boras can say, well, there's a mystery team. There's a dark horse team. It's hard to say that, you know, I heard Bloom said this. You just can't fabricate that. Or I heard St. Louis said this about a conversation or whatever, because all Bloom has to do is come out and say, we're not shopping Xander at all right now. And then Boras, you know, looks kind of dumb. You know, his pants go right to the ground. So I think it's just widespread speculation, you know, amongst media guys is how I see it.
Yeah, and I just like that makes sense because it's easy to jump on St. Louis because they just demoted their starting shortstop for the year. If this had happened in 2021, you could have linked him to the Tampa Bay Rays when they traded Willy Adames out of nowhere to the Milwaukee Brewers. So I could see how, yeah, like you could view it as just media members jumping on the latest thing to happen saying, oh, here's some speculation and kind of fueling that. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah. So Terry, I agree with you there, but there was one little tidbit, and this was in the Athletic article by Bowden, where it was the trade, and then it said contingent on Xander signing an 8-year, $216 million extension. That's a very specific number. So that's $27 million a year. You know, it's not 25, it's not 30, it's not, you know, a nice round number per year. I don't know. That's where I thought, that's when my brain started thinking, Scott's saying some things here. Like, is Xander naming his price? Is he telling the Red Sox, this is what I want? You know, they probably kind of know it, but is he kind of letting the public know that as well? Because, you know, as soon as that leak came out that the Red Sox offered him the extra year at 35, it was spun which way and whatever. So I don't know. That one was kind of got my antennas raised there with that specific number.
I mean, I don't doubt that Boris is trying to identify destination spots to where he could end up in July. And on top of that, taking their temperature on, would you be open to extending him upon doing that trade? I don't doubt that at all. But it's just hard to say for him to say that he feels Bloom may be shopping him or something. But let me also throw this out there. I lost my train of thought just now. That never happens. Crap. Let me ask this instead. Are we okay with Bloom shopping, if Bloom is shopping him and you know, getting feelers out there, are we okay with that the first week of May or second week of May, that our GM or chief baseball officer is pulling the plug this early?
It feels too early to me. Yeah, that's the one thing that bothers me about this so much, is that this is when this came up. Yeah, you know, the Red Sox had a horrid month of April. They're, you know, again, we talked about it on the last show. They're, you know, it's them and like three other teams that have the worst records in baseball right now. And now these rumors come out about Xander Bogaerts' potential landing spots. As you said, if that's translation of Kyan Bloom is shopping him, boy, that's early. And what that means to me is that not only are they not close on negotiations, the negotiations are over. It's done. Like if Kyan Bloom is actively shopping him this early, that tells me that Xander Bogaerts already told him, I don't care how much you come back to me with me in the offseason, I'm not signing here. You know, it's, you've already poisoned the water, you know, for lack of a better term. So if that's the case, that's real bad, because it's John Lester all over again. It's Mookie Betts all over again. You know, once again, you bungled a negotiation with a star player to the point where you piss them off so much that they've already told you, don't bother coming back to me with a counteroffer. I want to be traded. So that would be hugely alarming if that's the case.
Let me say no with an asterisk. So no, I'm not cool with that, with him shopping him right now. I don't think he probably is. Again, I do think it's a lot of smoke. The only scenario where I'd be okay with it is if he followed up that trade with saying, guys, I fucked up. Like, I really messed up this offseason. Like, we weren't
swear
good
jar. Swear jar.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, and then that's what I screwed up, guys. Like, we were not good enough to compete. I mismanaged some allocations. I should have spent on the bullpen. There were X, Y, and Z hole that I didn't fill. So that's kind of, that would be the only way that I'd be cool with him potentially moving him. And if he was, and if he did move him, say second week of June, and was like, listen, if we waited till August, we're not getting anything back. We're getting a middle reliever, back end of the 40 prospect. If he walked away with, let's get into it now, Nolan Gorman, who is a second base, third base prospect for the Cardinals, a top 30 prospect in all of baseball, a power hitting infielder with 60 power, 55 hit grade. It was like, guys, like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sign Rafael Devers to this extension, that completely contingent on a trade. You got to sign Devers. We said, we're moving Trevor over. We're getting it. Nolan's our everyday second baseman. Here's where we're going from here. That's the only way I could see it being somewhat acceptable, because he'd have to take accountability and explain why they're in the position that they are, that they have to trade the face of the franchise 6 weeks into the season.
Do you think that's a possibility, though? Do you think that they could get a Nolan Gorman for a Xander Bogaerts? Because I think that's a steep price. Xander Bogaerts is maybe top 10 short. He is a top 10 shortstop, but that's a steep price.
I agree with you. When Bowden threw that out there, even with the you know, the terms that Xander would have to sign that 8-year deal, I still thought that was too much. Let me throw this out there. They didn't get pitching back from LA with Mookie, and I think a lot of that had to do with Gratterall's arm. A lot of red flags. Two teams said he's not a starter. Like, let's not forget, he was a starting pitcher. And now he's just a one-inning bullpen guy. But Highbloom had a very high-up position with the Rays in 2018 when they drafted Matthew Liberatore very early in the first round. He was one of the best pitching prospects in that draft. The Rays then flipped him for Randy Arozarena. Liberatore is one of the best pitching prospects in baseball. He's a tick behind Nolan Gorman. I think we would probably see them target him more so than Nolan Gorman, because they need young, talented arms going forward, because they're not coming from within outside of Bello and or Bayo and Walter, and those aren't sure things. So I think Gorman's a pipe dream, maybe if you attach like a Matt Strom to him. But yeah, I thought when I saw Nolan Gorman, that's shooting for the moon. I don't think you're going to get that back, because he's great.
You could also throw in a Nathan Eovaldi type guy. It doesn't quite resemble the Turner Scherzer package, you know, because Eovaldi's not quite Scherzer, but he's solid, you know, a number two on most rotations, and he's got a great postseason record, which is what a team would want. So I think that could potentially sweeten the deal, but it's just insane to me. And the reason why I asked if we're okay with Bloom already pulling the plug is how would John Henry feel at this point? Cause at this point he wants to win. He got a taste of it last October. And I don't think he wants to take a step backwards.
I would love to agree with that. I would love to have the, for lack of a better term, the bloodthirsty John Henry back, but I think he's kind of checked out on the Red Sox right now. Like, he just bought the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was at the Kentucky Derby the other day. Like, I don't think that he's in absolutely have to win now kind of mode. I think that part of the reason Kyan Bloom is here is because John Henry looks at it and goes, well, maybe it's okay to have 3 or 4 years, maybe even 5 in between championships if we do it with young guys and we don't have to come up against a luxury tax every single year like the Yankees do, or even the Dodgers do. Grant, you know, the Dodgers did win, but they're, you know, blowing past the luxury tax every year. And I think John Henry is very cognizant of that. So I would love to think that he's getting antsy and that he's impatient and he's, you know, banging down the door to say, hey, what are we doing here? But I kind of think that he's just on his yacht wherever in the world that he is that day. And you're just kind of going, yeah, Kaim's going to figure it out. If we're not close in a couple of years, then I'll step back in and I'll go fire and brimstone. But for now, I'm okay.
So here's my take on that. If they do trade Xander early, I want Red. And again, if they decide that's the best route and they need to make a quick switch right now, okay, that's fine as long as you have a plan. I do, however, want Red Sox fans to vote with their wallet for the remainder of the summer. I don't want them waiting 2 hours for a Fenway Frank and a $12 Truly while they get a picture with Tom Caron. I don't want them to go to Fenway. I want half capacity, because I guarantee you, if that stadium is a ghost town throughout the summer, Ness's ratings are down, you're going to see some big signings in the offseason. There are some very talented arms coming over from Japan. There's a guy in New York that's fast tracking his way to an MVP award. There's a third baseman that is on your team that's approaching a contract year. I think you could see a lot of moves to get back in the good graces of fans. So if this is what it takes.
Don't you think that should have happened after John Lester and Mookie Betts? And it didn't. I mean, all we heard when Mookie Betts was traded was, wow, this is the worst trade in Red Sox history and they'll never recover from this. And fans should be appalled and they should boycott the team. And they still almost sell out every single game.
They did with the Lester one, because then we saw right after that we got, within a couple of years, we got the two scrubs in Pablo and Hanley, and then we got David Price. Or actually, we're all three in the same offseason.
Price was one more after.
I don't know. Every time they've bottomed out like that, it has kind of resulted in something large.
Well, I mean, if you trade Xander, the urgency to lock up Devers has to be immense, because you can't
through the roof.
How do you replace even Xander?
You're not. Yeah. Well, Trevor Story, and then you move. If you got Nolan Gorman, I guess then you're kind of like 85% of where you are right now.
Right, but if you don't bring at least one back, and then they're both not here in 2023, you're telling your fan base that this is a longer rebuild than what we might have alluded to.
I've always thought that was a 0% chance. I never thought that in 1 year we'd see Devers, Xander, and JD leave. To this day, remain adamant that there's 0% chance of that.
Yeah, I think if it does come down to that, where Xander leaves, Devers leaves, and you're not getting the Nolan Gorman back, you're just, if the plan there is just, we got this kid Benellis, he's going to take over at third base, just wait a couple of years. Like, if you really are going to just do that, then yeah, you're just, it's the race all over again as well. We don't need superstars. We'll just replace him with the next 20-year-old that's in our system, and hopefully he's good. If he is good, we'll keep him around for a couple of years until he hits free agency, and then we'll get rid of him too. If that's the way it's going to be, then that's completely unacceptable for this market and this fan base.
And I don't even think Bloom looks at it that way, because he knows how much money that Tampa Bay allocates to their developmental systems. They're insane. That's where all their money goes. All those tickets, or whatever ticket sales they make, they have the best coaches. They have the best staff, the best trainers. They literally get anyone that comes on is just a wagon after 2 years. The Red Sox have done a better job lately, but they are not Tampa Bay. No one is. And Bloom knows that.
Well, I think Jason meant just from a budgeting standpoint. I mean, developmentally, I mean, we're not as good as Tampa. I was kind of hoping for that with Dave Bush, and we've been pretty stout, really, as far as pitching, so maybe that is going in the right direction. With Juice Baseballs, though, how long is this Michael Wacha thing going to go on? Because he's a pitch-to-contact guy, so So the juice balls are going to hurt him. But getting back to it, I just 2023 or this coming winter, 22 into 23, this has to be the all-in off season. It has to be.
I mean, particularly the way this season is going so far. Yeah. I mean, it's how many more years are you going to, you know, you don't want to take too many steps back because that's just not going to work for the roster you have and for the expectations. So yeah, they should absolutely be more active. But and who knows?
What if Meyer just isn't the guy? What if he's just like an above average player and not like a super elite player like he's hyped up to be? I mean, Yoan Moncada was the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, we can all agree that he didn't quite live up to the hype. I mean, he's a good player, but he's not Wander Franco. And so I don't want to necessarily wait for all of these guys to come up just to find out, oh, you know, they're just not, you know, as elite as we thought they would be. And we just had this super long rebuild when we probably could have been more aggressive and competitive sooner.
Well, luckily they can't bottom out like 2 years in a row with the new draft format. I think they kind of put some fail safes into that with how many times you can finish bottom six or something like that. So kind of forces your hand there, luckily.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And the point that slipped my mind earlier, Scott Boras can't have Carlos Correa and Xander Bogaerts going into free agency together. One of those guys has to sign before the season ends. And I do not think Minnesota's going to lock up Correa to this mega deal, 300 plus. I want to say Joe Mauer is the biggest financial commitment they ever made. And I don't even think that wasn't even quite 200. So the Twins are, last I checked, in first place. So they don't have any incentive to try to even trade Correa to cash in necessarily. So I think Scott Boras has to, at all costs, get Xander Bogaerts onto another team with an extension in place the day that trade happens. And Xander does have 10-5 rights, so he's got a lot of leverage himself.
I agree with you, and he's not just going up against Cray. He's going against Trey Turner. He's going against Dansby Swanson, and there's probably another that I can't think of right now. It's not a two-horse race. Xander's probably number three there behind Turner and Correa because neither of those guys are switching positions.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're going to essentially do what the Mets did with Lindor. Like, that's the hope. And I know that was technically still the off season, but that trade took place with like 99.9% confidence that an extension would happen.
Can I build on your point? Could this be a fear tactic, like a fear mongering from Boras and Xander then? Are they worried that once he hits open market, that the public pressure is off the Red Sox and like, is he worried where am I going to just completely bottom out, tail between the leg and go back to the Red Sox for $30 million, for $25 million? Are they nervous? Could that be a possibility?
That's a good point. They could be. And I mean, the optics aren't good that all these teams are looking at the Red Sox going, wow, they only offered him 90 over 4 years. And I know that was essentially just a 1 year add on, but the optics aren't good. And I don't think Boras appreciates that. And the other thing that I've harped on the last several shows is Xander's a first half player. So you probably want to get that done in the first half before he tails off. He's never been horrible in the second half by any means, but But there is, you know, a difference. And he's never been a postseason guy anyway. So so there's a lot of incentive for Scott Boras to get something done.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, Xander Bogaerts has been out to a red hot start. So like Terry said, if he has a poor second half, then, you know, especially if he has a poor second half and the team itself has a poor second half as well, then, you know, Xander Bogaerts is going to kind of fade away or fade into irrelevancy a little bit. Not entirely. I mean, there'll still be teams that want him, but they'll kind of look at him going, I don't know, your team sucked and you were just kind of average in the second half. We're not giving you $30 million a year. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Boras and him are thinking that, going, hey, you know, we should strike while the iron's hot, because you're the hottest guy in the market right now. And everyone knows that the Red Sox, you know, aren't willing to sign you. So why don't we start putting some news out there and hopefully get you moved.
And if they don't agree on this international draft by, I think it's like July 3rd, that comp pick comes back into play and Xander is going to have a first round pick attached to him.
Can he do that where he's opting out?
Yep.
You're sure? Okay.
Yep. Because that was the case with JD last year. Everyone's like, well, can they put a QO pick on him?
True.
And okay. It was.
All right. That would be kind of dirty. But Xander should be, in theory, a player that another team would sign anyway. I mean, it's not like the Conforto situation. Yeah. And just one other thing to kind of piggyback off of the are we okay with Bloom doing this? He hasn't denied anything. He hasn't done anything to take out the fire extinguisher and hose off the rumors. So just for what it's worth, he's fine with that stuff floating around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of weird. He hasn't at all tried to douse that situation or at least sort of say, oh, no, you know, the offer was better than he's saying, or no, you know, it's negotiations still ongoing. It's, you know, it's not as drastic as he's saying. You're right. Like Bloom seems okay with the fact of just the entire league kind of knowing like, hey, the Red Sox lowballed him and they're not giving him the market deal that he wants, which is interesting.
Yeah.
These are heavy thoughts for second week of May.
It's really, yeah, that's the depressing part. It's like second week of May, and yeah, I know things aren't going well, but it's like we're already figuring out, okay, what's the trade package for Xander Bogaerts that we'd be happy with? It's, yeah, it's kind of depressing, but this is the situation we're in, you know? I mean, these rumors come out. I don't think they come out of nowhere, and when your team is, you know, in the cellar like they are, then, you know, that's only going to add fuel to the fire. So, any of you guys have any final thoughts on that, or
just waiting for the next bombshell or someone credible to throw fuel on the fire?
Yeah,
it's a big month coming up. And if they get off to a horrible start on this road trip, we might actually start seeing legitimate reports, because I'm not buying it right now, but they fall on their face. I'm going to start to buy it.
I want to see Alex Cora extremely stressed out and potentially high in Bloom. Bloom, did you guys see the interview with him in the dugout? It was just, yeah, he looked pretty disheveled in there. Maybe he just got back from a run. I know he likes to do that, but looked a little disheveled, a little stressed, and that would be a relief to me, because that's ownership saying, come on guys, this isn't what we wanted this year and whatnot. So anyway, Job wants Bloom fired. That's what he was saying a couple shows ago. So it's definitely the whole fan base is all over the road with this start of the season.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be nice to see them as stressed as we are to start the year, but I don't know. Yeah, they'll try and play it cool, but they should be stressed out, because this is definitely not the start that anybody wanted. So We'll see, I guess. Okay, I think with that, we'll probably wrap it there. That was sort of the big news of the week anyway. That was really the hottest thing going on. So we will be back on Monday to cap the weekend series against Texas. So that'll be Terry, Job, and Charlie taking that one. Hopefully they at least take two out of three. Texas is not a great team, but as we sort of previewed on our show last night, I'm not feeling confident about that given the pitching matchups, but we'll see. And we'll see if there's any more news that pops up over the next couple of days. So once again, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back with you guys next week. Take care.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.